pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number three begins right now. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with me, your show host. You text me, and we got a bunch of text here we can get to at some point during the program before we conclude. Still to come, Garland Gudger, he's our Senate pro tem, making a second appearance on the show during this legislative session, but that's in about a half hour from now. Joining us now, he is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's also, whenever I fill in on 93.1 here in Montgomery, my regular here, but State Senator Will Barfoot is with us. Senator, how are you?
Very good. Glad to be here with you and appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Let's start here. A session, fourth year of a quadrennium. Yeah. Second time around for you with this, but there's some very important legislation that's being considered. But it is let's get a wrap on this and get back to our districts.
I think that's the plan. Obviously, you know, the budgets are paramount and the only thing that we actually are mandated to address. All the other is not fluff; it's meaningful, but it's not mandated. So I think you'll see a concerted effort by leadership in both the House and Senate to make sure that we get accomplish what we need to in the way of the budgets and address those items. Some of them that are local bills that have kind of hung around last session didn't get passed, and then see what's important, what's left, and get back to our districts.
So. Relatively quiet session so far. Now, you know, the big talk, you believe already made it a third of the way through, but those first 5 days are pretty easy. You burn through them, you gavel in, gavel out. You got to go through some formalities to get bills to the floor, so that's why they do it the way they do it. But such as it is, here we are today talking about this, and, we haven't had knock on wood, but it could be coming, the filibusters, you know, things that really slow things down upstairs.
Yeah, I suspect before the session is over with, we will have an opportunity to enjoy a filibuster or two.
So much calling to joy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. I am not against the filibuster per se. I think it's not a bad idea for members to be able to extend their discussion about a topic if it's pertinent to the conversation. If it's pertinent,
a lot of times the pertinent to the conversation part is just trampled over
100%. And so that part is very frustrating. But I am for debate and discussion. And quite honestly, sometimes the members on the Republican side of the equation may want to use that to their advantage or to our advantage when we need it. So I'm for it in theory. It does bring you down a little bit whenever you're out there for 3 or 4 hours and you don't even know how the comments on the floor connect to the bill itself.
But, yeah, we're doing like 2 hours about Elon Musk, and the bill is about like changing tables for adult diapers or something. It's okay.
Much of a connection.
No connection whatsoever, but it always spurred this discussion about rules changes or, you had your first cloture in a long time last year.
Yeah.
Where you finally, and then so the public kind of looking at this, well, guys, you have a super majority. Why is this happening? Why aren't you steamrolling these guys? And that's a frustration you hear even throughout this building.
Yeah, no, that's true. But again, I go back to it's there to cloture motions when we need them, when we think we've got to have those and move things along. The pro tem last year showed that ability and willingness. Senator Gudger did make sure that happens. And if you'll remember, I mean, there was one day essentially where the Republicans held the microphone and we went through every bill.
We didn't let them have the mic.
Yeah,
I played keep away.
That's right. And so, I mean, that was impressive from the standpoint of...
It really was. You know. And you filibustered yourself, and they did not get a chance to go to the mic. Yeah. And you could see the frustration.
Very well done by the pro tem. And I think, you know, that's an ability that we have on the supermajority side of the equation, that when we need to move something, we have that ability. We don't always want to get into a fight. And as I said, I think cloture petitions should be used sparingly, but they're there for a purpose.
Yeah, they need to be sitting on the desk, ready to be signed in the event of a break in case of a glass emergency, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, Judiciary Committee, this is your first quadrennium chair in that. You know, I ask you this, when you were a freshman, what did you, you anticipated what it was going to be like was kind of different from what it really was. Chairing a committee, what did you anticipate that and what was the reality?
Well, when my first quadrennium, I was fortunate enough to be named vice chair. So I served under Senator Cam Ward and then Senator Tom Watley. And different styles that they have between themselves. And I got a little bit different style than I have. So I got to see some of that kind of firsthand, behind the scenes of how agendas are made, and how to handle, some of the issues in there. So from that standpoint, it's not really much different than I envisioned or that I saw to begin with. But judiciary has a lot of bills that come through and a lot of tough, discussions, weighty discussions. And it's, almost all the lawyers in the Senate are on that, committee. There are several non-lawyers who are on there. And sometimes I think the non-lawyers get frustrated with us lawyers who we like to talk about things and debate back and forth, pick out little, where's the comma go? What does this word mean here? But I think that's important, not only on bills that come through judiciary, but bills in general, legislation in general. But it's a great committee. I really enjoy it. Have enjoyed it, but it is, it can be, exhausting sometimes.
It's an important committee. One of the top tier committees. Yep. You're passing, a lot of the laws, the statutes that we, you have to come through this. I mean, obviously everything is statute when it's signed in, but things that really directly impact the public. Right. Typically are very judiciary oriented, right?
That's correct. Wide variety and range of topics from civil reforms or suggested civil reforms and how that affects not only businesses in Alabama, but individuals and small businesses as well, to, how you protect children. We just passed some legislation yesterday, Senator Weaver and Representative Matt Simpson's bill on, death penalty eligible offenses by somebody who rapes or sodomizes or sexual torture on a child less than 12 years of age and past that. So those are, again, weighty topics and a wide variety of bills that come through judiciary.
Well, and so that bill, only one vote against it. I was kind of surprised, but it's off to the Senate floor.
Yeah.
It's going to pass, but.
Yep. It will. And I think, the events that took place, as I understand them, in Senator Weaver's district were just horrific. And I don't, as I understand those the allegations up there, to me that is worse than, guy that shoots another guy in a drug deal, right? That may be death penalty eligible. That is the situation that happened in Bibb County and Senator Weaver's district was, to me, is much more. Those folks deserve a death penalty, if it's true. So.
Joined by State Senator Will Barfoot here on the program. I'll ask you this, how much you want to talk about it or not, but the sort of flip-flop of the districts here, you're running for a Senate district that was mandated by the federal courts and won, and then your counterpart, Senator Hatcher, is going to run for the other. So kind of walk us through a quick synopsis of that.
Sure. To begin with, the plaintiffs in that case sued multiple House districts and Senate districts listed them with a constitutional claim as well as a Voting Rights Act claim. Eventually, they narrowed down their focus to the Madison County and the Montgomery County area in the Senate only on a Voting Rights Claim Act. Took it from a 3-judge panel to just one federal judge. There was a trial on that. Court found that the state did not violate the Voting Rights Act as it pertained to Madison County. Did find in favor of the plaintiffs in the Montgomery County where Senator Hatcher and I represent. you know, signed a special master. There was a map that the courts
high school student at the time,
drew, and essentially the court said, well, this is the map that we're going to go with. And so it only affected District 25 and District 26. That's me and Senator Hatcher. Currently, under 25 is what District 25 is where I am. I represent all of Crenshaw County, about three-fourths of Montgomery, and about three-fourths of Elmore County. And what that new map did was it took District 25 out of Elmore County completely, moved population base of District 25 further into the city of Montgomery, essentially changed District 25 from a strong Republican district, made it certainly at least a lean Democrat district. But conversely, it took 26, who Senator Hatcher now represents, which was a very strong Democrat district, and expanded it to Elmore County to make it a more lean Republican district. So it essentially the net effect could be, at least on paper, obviously the folks of both districts get an opportunity to vote. But essentially what it could be is that it doesn't change the outcome of Republican or Democrat senators that represent either Montgomery or Elmore County. And so a lot of time, energy, and effort, and unfortunately taxpayer dollars, that the end result may be nothing changes. So
that appears to be what's going to happen there. But, I mean, we still got some court decisions outlined that can really shake things up on this, right?
Yep, that's right. The Louisiana case at the U.S. Supreme Court, Louisiana versus Calais, that there's an opinion expected maybe this spring or even into the summer. And that will have, I think, a far-reaching impact on not just the Louisiana map that was the subject of the appeal, but certainly Alabama and other congressional seats around, as well as the state Senate seats. So there's a chance that if some legislation is passed here in the state, and if the Supreme Court overturns the Louisiana case and applies that to the Alabama factual scenario, we could go right back to where we were.
But it's not like a given that the Supreme Court rules on Louisiana, and then it's just we still got some hurdles to go through to get there, right?
That's right.
Yep. I mean, just because you're establishing a new precedent, it does still have a due process, right?
That's right. There has to be an application of whatever that ruling is, assuming that the ruling at the Supreme Court turns out like we want it to, that you have to apply that law and get in front of a district court judge and say, hey, judge, here's how this precedent, here's how the Supreme Court ruled, and here's how it affects our case. So that does take some time, and it does matter. The words on the piece of paper obviously matter as to how it applies or if it applies to our specific set of circumstances.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this. You had a bill that was met to get at the gang problem, and then this was coming off the Dadeville incident, which appears to be gang related. I haven't heard much on that lately, but it is certainly a problem that's played Birmingham, Montgomery, different places. But are we starting to see fruits of that? Are we starting to see that problem kind of be curbed a little bit?
Yeah. So I've heard reports from around the state where DAs and certainly even the AG's office have used that legislation, that law now, to pursue a heightened penalty for those folks who are involved in gang violence, not just individuals, but groups of people who, are involved in gang violence. And there's another piece of legislation that we passed, I guess it was last session, too, and that is the Speedy Trial Act, which allows the DA's office throughout the state or the AG's office, if they're handling a case, to ask for a special appointment of a judge to hear certain violent cases. And I think that's going to bear fruit as well. There are circuits around the state where they may only have two jury trials in a criminal setting, two criminal jury trials a year. And some of these bigger, larger cases can consume all the time resources that they have, so it gives the ability to get another judge in and hear those cases.
Because a lot of times, at least you just don't have the bandwidth.
That's right.
Single courtroom or whatever, and that it needs the judge is hearing another case whatever, and it gets put on a backlog.
Exactly.
Well, Senator, we appreciate you coming by.
Hey, always enjoy it.
Yeah, we're going to do this again soon. We're going to try to stagger it out where 1 week we'll do House, and the next week we'll do Senate, and so on and so forth.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming by. State Senator Will Barfoot, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Living.